Intercom episode number 4, Rocky Vista University in Ivins, Utah. Hello and welcome to the Osteopod. In this episode, I interview Ryan Knight, a third-year medical student at Rocky Vista University, located in Ivins, Utah. If you look back at the first episode of Intercom, you would see that it is an interview with a student from Rocky Vista University in Colorado. And to clarify, Rocky Vista University in Utah is a sister school to RVU in Colorado. Located in southern Utah, Rocky Vista University in Ivins, Utah, being the sister school to the one in Colorado, they share a lot of the same curriculum as well as faculty at some points. And the only thing that really makes it special and unique is that Rocky Vista University has only been out and running for 3 years. And so the interviewee, Ryan Knight, he is a part of the inaugural class of Rocky Vista in southern Utah. And so it was really interesting to get his point of view as a member of a brand new school and a brand new class. So I hope you find that interesting as you listen to this interview. So let's get to it. Let's go into the interview and Ryan will introduce himself as well as describe his journey into medicine and why he chose to go the DO route.
My name's Ryan Knight. I grew up in Mesa, Arizona. I always thought I'd go to medical school, had a passion for anatomy in high school, and also just like the job security that medicine provides. So yeah, that's sort of what brought me here. DO, in terms of why DO, I liked the OMM emphasis and thought that I'd want to do something with my hands as I came into school. And so I liked that element of additional training when it comes to manipulation and such.
Why did you choose Rocky Vista University in Ivins, Utah?
Yeah, so I interviewed at a whole bunch of different DO programs, got accepted to several, but ultimately I was really impressed on interview day with RVU's administration and their reputation for producing competent physicians sort of preceded them. And it was fairly close to home, which was a factor that we weighed in. And ultimately that's where we decided to go. It would be best for not only me, but for my family and for our future.
What is Ivins, Utah like?
Yeah, so Rocky Vista, southern Utah is located in Ivins, which is sort of a suburb of St. George in southern or southwest Utah. St. George itself is relatively small, but still provides a lot of the amenities of a big city. It still has all of the big shopping and stores, so you don't feel like you're in a small town, and yet it still maintains that sort of small town feel. Ivins itself is a little bit to the northwest of downtown St. George. It's incredibly small, but sits right at the base of beautiful red rocks and is close to a lot of outdoor activities. So it's a beautiful place, a beautiful area. I know that for some people who like big cities, it might not provide all of those different opportunities, but it's a lovely place overall.
What was interview day like?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, when I interviewed, the school wasn't actually built. It was still under construction. They had sort of the main frame of it done, but we didn't get to tour the facilities on interview day. We interviewed across the street at some medical office buildings that the school had purchased and that they still operate out of. I didn't get to see the finished product by the time I chose to go to RVU ComSU. We saw the blueprints and the layout, and it looked like it was going to be nice. And sure enough, it's a wonderful facility. Interview day itself was really, really nice. I have to say, amongst the different interviews that I did, it was probably the most intimate. It was a 2-to-1 interview for about an hour. They just asked really questions about myself, about my goals. There's one or two questions, like scenario questions that they asked, what would you do if put in this situation? And it was reasonable, let's say that. And then the rest of the interview morning was talking about sort of plans for the school, curriculum, and introductions to some of the faculty members. It was a really nice interview day, and better than some of the other ones that I did.
What was it like knowing that you were interviewing for the first ever class in that school?
So when we were interviewing, Dr. Park, who's the dean of the Southern Utah campus, sort of emphasized that, hey, you guys are going to be sort of pioneers and not guinea pigs necessarily, but there's going to be a lot of unknowns going forward. And she said, are you in for that? And obviously, those of us who ultimately decided to go to RVUCOM were on board with that. And truthfully, it was maybe a little bit rocky at the start, but nothing more than you'd expect. And ultimately, it's been a really rewarding experience, sort of paving the way for the second two classes that have now entered into the RVU's Southern Utah program. It was also nice because we did have access to many of the Rocky Vista, Colorado upperclassmen in terms of contact and tutoring and such. So it wasn't, I didn't feel at a disadvantage necessarily being the first class like some people might have assumed.
What type of housing is available to students who want to go to Ivins, Utah, and what is the cost of living in that area?
So my family and I, we chose to live in St. George, actually. It's about a 15-minute drive from downtown St. George area. And our decision simply came to a convenience for my wife and our kids. There's a little bit more to do down in St. George as opposed to out in Ivins, more family activities in St. George. So we chose to live in St. George. A lot of the class lived in Ivins, and I think they did just fine there. Like I said, proximity, 15-minute drive at most. In terms of cost of living, I guess expectations with what you'd see there, it's really reasonable, a very family-friendly environment. They have lots of activities for young kids. I think you can get a decent size 2 to 3 bedroom apartment for anywhere from 8 to 11 hundred dollars. And yeah, it's a really pretty area. Out in Ivins, maybe a little bit, there's fewer opportunities in terms of living out in Ivins just because it's a little bit smaller, but still, there's not really any problems there.
What do you like about the campus itself? And if there's anything that you could add to it, what would you add?
Yeah, the campus is absolutely beautiful. I think I stated earlier that it sits right at the base of what we call Big Red. It's a big red mountain. It's a beautiful location. The facilities are state of the art, just really, really pretty, very conducive to learning. There's two big auditoriums where all the lectures are conducted, and then the majority of the building was sort of devoted to the students. Lots of study rooms, the library's big and open, lots of natural lighting, and plenty of places to really focus and study, which I think is very important. In terms of the labs, I mean, the cadaver lab is beautiful, lots of open light or lots of windows and lighting. The OMM lab, same sort of thing. So I think they did a really good job with the planning and the architecture of the building. The one thing that I think our class was sort of hopeful that they might get put in was some sort of a gym facility or a place where they could go and exercise. The school contracted out with a couple of local gyms for a student discount type thing to compensate for that. But I think that they were looking into perhaps in the near future putting in some sort of a gym for students to utilize. So that's really the only thing. Otherwise, I feel like the campus itself is beautiful and pretty much everything you'd expect or need.
What is the curriculum like the first 2 years of medical school?
So curriculum is the same as Colorado's campus, but first year is very anatomy, histology, embryology, physiology based. You go through all the different it's system based, I should say, as well. So you do all of those things within a certain system, and it sort of all flows together really nicely. And then year two is devoted to you kind of repeat first year curriculum in a day, do all of that just as a quick review, and then you really delve into pathology and get to the more clinical side of medicine, which is where step one obviously is mostly focused and where you'll really benefit in years three and four.
Tell us about a typical day and week at Rocky Vista.
Sure. Yeah, so a typical a week, I'll just paint it as a week. Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 12 noon are lectures, typically 50 minutes, and then you get a 10-minute break in between. And it's pretty structured that way. You can choose to go to class. All the lectures are recorded and put online so you can watch from the convenience of your home later if you choose to. It's sort of just personal preference, how you like to learn. But yeah, lectures from 8 to noon, and then you get an hour break or hour lunch break. And then starting at 1, typically from 1 to 5, you'll have labs. During first year, when you're in the cadaver lab, that'll be every day for 2 hours. And then the OMM lab one day, and what's called PCM or Principles of Clinical Medicine lab one day. So those typically go from 1 to 5 in the afternoon. And then at 5, for the most part, you're off for studying in the evening. Like I said, the lectures themselves are recorded. They alternate between campuses. So some of the lectures will be live from Colorado and will be video broadcast to Utah. And then some of the lectures will be live in Utah, broadcast to Colorado. It's fully interactive. You can communicate cross campuses to students using microphones. And so I didn't really feel, I know a lot of people said, oh, that's going to be somewhat of a disadvantage. You're not there live with the professor, but I didn't really feel that there was any difference. And I know that a majority of our class watched from home recorded, so I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
Are there different types of lectures given, and are textbooks required?
Rocky Vista has standard lectures that you'd go and for an hour, the lecturer is using a PowerPoint for the most part to lecture on a certain topic. There are what are called CIS sessions. Sort of a walkthrough at the end of a week, let's say after you've gone through the material, they'll try and integrate that material into patient, like a live case, and they'll walk through the case and it's sort of a question answer, an interactive session where the professor is asking questions and students are responding to those questions. So those are CIS sessions and they tend to happen once or twice a week, just as sort of a an integrative learning experience, let's say. There are also what are called DSAs. They typically are either Word documents or PDFs that sort of supplement the material from class. And you'll have an hour of your own like self-guided study to go through the DSA. And it should just be mostly review. Sometimes there's some material in it that isn't covered in the lecture, but it tends to be pretty well overlapped with what's been going on in class. And then, as far as textbooks, with each course, they have a textbook that they recommend. I don't think I purchased a textbook. The tests tend to be focused primarily on the PowerPoint presentations and those DSAs that are in class. I think you can, if you choose to, buy a textbook. You can use one. For the most part, I just used some of the board texts, first aid and some of those board materials as additional resources to supplement the PowerPoints and the DSAs.
Does your school offer special programs, curriculum tracks, fellowships?
Yeah, Rocky Vista, they have some tracks that you can be a part of if you choose to. It's obviously not required. I personally didn't do that. I didn't participate in a track. I sort of devoted my time more to board study during second year, but starting in January of first year, so the second semester, and then on through second year, you can choose to be a part of a track. There's a military track for those in the military, an academic track, if you're feeling like maybe you want to go into academia. There's also a research track, and let's see, global track for those who are interested in global medicine and travel and that such. Then they have a wilderness, that's right. There is a wilderness emergency type medicine track. Anyway, so those are some of the ones that you can choose to do and be a part of. They tend to meet, I think, once a week for 2 or 3 hours. And just sort of if you're interested in those different opportunities, those are available. As far as fellowships for years 3 and 4, they have two spots in OM, oh no, sorry, 4 spots in OMM as to be a fellow in OMM. And then there's 2 spots to work in the cadaver labs for years 3 and 4. And the way that works is the school will subsidize your years 3 and 4 tuition for an additional year. As you sort of go through your rotations, you'll alternate between rotation and being a fellow there on campus and helping the under or the first and second years with their curriculum.
Are there opportunities for research?
Yeah, so that's one point. I think across most DO programs, research isn't a huge emphasis, because the primary goal, I think, of most DO programs is to produce physicians or well-balanced physicians that ultimately end up mostly in primary care. But that being said, there are research opportunities. You kind of have to go out of your way and find them, but they are there. I know that there was a couple of projects going on during my first and second year in ultrasound. Ooh, it was behavioral, I believe. There was a project going on in connection with Dixie State. There were some students working with some students at Dixie State on a research project as well.
What is the third and fourth year curriculum like?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm currently in my third year. But third year is broken down into core rotations. So you have your core rotations are internal medicine, family medicine, surgery, OBGYN, pediatrics, psychiatry, or behavioral medicine. So those are the cores, and you'll spend either 4 or 8 weeks in those cores. And then at the end of each core rotation, you take the MBME or the shelf exam that's administered across the country and have to meet a certain percentile for that. And then you, as long as your preceptor gives you good remarks, you pass those core rotations. You also get 2 elective rotations near the end of third year that you can sort of say, hey, I'm interested in this topic or in this field or specialty, and work that out with the coordinators. In terms of fourth year, and as I understand it, you're doing lots of sub-I's and lots of audition rotations as you sort of enter into the interview season, and you'll do a few electives here and there. But a lot of fourth year is dedicated to you and is very self-guided, and they give you a lot of leeway in terms of, hey, we want you to have the time that you need to go out, interview, and to audition. So
how does your school decide where you rotate?
Yeah, so Rocky Vista, I believe Colorado and Utah is the same. In late February, early March of second year, they do a lottery. They call it the lottery. And basically you'll rank in order from 1 to 10 maybe, your primary or priority location. And there's different sites that you can go to. So you rank those, and then they try and pair you up with either your first, second, third choice. I don't think anyone got below their third choice, but it's not a surefire that you get to go where you like your first choice, but typically they're pretty good about getting you either your first or your second.
Where can you go for rotations, and do you have to set some of these up yourself?
So there's 4 major sites, and then some additional rural sites that they call them. The 4 main sites are the St. George or Southern Utah area, which includes St. George, Cedar City, and Mesquite, Nevada. Those are the 3 main hubs there for that Southern Utah area. Then there's Utah Valley, which stretches from Lehi to Payson. There's Salt Lake region that stretches from Draper to North Salt Lake. And then there's the Weber region, which is that Weber Valley area, Ogden. Those are the 4 major sites. Then there's additional sites, if I can come up with them. There's Cache Valley, there's Vernal, Utah, Richfield. Oh, there's a few out of state, some Sholo, Arizona, Cheyenne, Wyoming, Blackfoot, Idaho. And those typically, for those people interested in rural medicine, those are sort of allocated for their purposes as well. In terms of setting up your rotations, the school, for the most part, is really good about setting up third-year rotations and making sure that you have preceptors assigned. There was a little bit of a delay for us just because of being the first class, and they were still trying to lock down rotations. But we're currently pretty well set, and there seems to be enough preceptors for everyone in third year. So,
how well do you feel like your school has prepared you for shelf exams as well as the board exams?
At Rocky Vista, as part of the third year, and as you're going through your core rotations, you do take the MBME, which is the allopathic board governing body, their shelf exam, and the percentiles. You have to score above the 10th percentile to pass the rotation. We're not required to take the MBOME shelf exams. As far as national board exams, the MBME, no. So the USMLE and the COMLEX, COMLEX level one is obviously those only DOs are taking that exam. It's highly integrated with OMM, but there is a lot of just medicine on there as well. The school itself does an excellent job in preparing you for the COMLEX exam. The curriculum is set up such that you really, I felt like I stepped in and I felt confident. The exam itself was kind of in terms of questions, and it was a little vague, but overall I did great on it and I felt good about it. For step one, or the USMLE, the allopathic board exam, tends to be sort of, it's one of the most challenging exams you'll ever take. But for the most part, the school's curriculum, I think it does it. It prepares you. I do feel that you have to kind of take control and take responsibility for your own learning experience, though, as well, and say, hey, I'm going to devote myself to board study, because I don't think any school, if you don't, MD, DO, a lot of board study falls on you and using additional board resources to really score well. While yes, I do think that the curriculum is helpful and prepares you, a lot of that does fall back in that, especially that fourth semester during second year, it falls on you to either make or break your score. And that obviously that's just my personal opinion. I know a lot of people in our class said, hey, I'm going to focus on our curriculum and learning what we're required to know for tests. And a lot of people said, hey, I'm going to sort of put more of my attention onto studying for step one and COMLEX. And I can't say that one paid higher dividends than the other, but I think generally speaking, those who focused a little bit more time, especially during that second semester of second year on board study, I think did a little bit better.
How well does your school teach OMT?
Well, it's hard for me to say because I obviously only went to Rocky Vista and I only know their OMT program, but I find it hard to believe that any other DO program has a better OMT curriculum and better faculty than we do at Southern Utah and Colorado. Together, the two sets of faculty are absolutely really some of the best OMT I think you could possibly find. Really know their thing, their stuff, and the curriculum is great in that regard. I felt really prepared for COMLEX, and I feel prepared to use OMM in practice. So, yeah, no, I think that's one of the strong points.
Does your school have clubs?
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I could tell you all of them. There are a lot of clubs, a lot of different interest groups that you can choose to be a part of or not choose to be a part of. And the school allocates funds accordingly to those different groups for activities and such. I know entering medical school, I was sort of interested in anesthesia, and they have an anesthesia interest group, and they have there are plenty of clubs and plenty of opportunities to get involved in those activities, as well as be a part of leadership in those different clubs as well.
Does your school offer counseling as well as support groups for families and children, spouses, that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah, no, the school is, I don't know what Colorado's campus is like necessarily, but Rocky Vista Southern Utah has gone above and beyond and sort of out of their way to make sure that there's plenty of resources for students in terms of mental health and study resources. They have plenty of faculty and administration devoted simply to helping the students in that regard, sort of help balance school and personal life and family life. As far as families are concerned, I think our class, the first year's class there in St. George, was sort of an anomaly. We had a huge percentage of our class that was either married with families or that were that had like significant others. They've now created their own sort of club. I can't remember what it's called, but there's a significant other / spouse group that have activities, and there's plenty of opportunities for them. My wife was able to make a lot of good friends and had great experiences and meaningful relationships with other spouses and significant others from the school. So I think the school has done a good job in sort of catering that to families, as well as just the city itself. I think I mentioned this earlier, that St. George and Ivins are very family friendly area and a very safe place to be, and there's lots of different opportunities for those with spouses or even children.
Are there any extracurricular activities or volunteer experiences offered through the school?
I volunteered in a couple different capacities throughout my first 2 years, and the school often has sort of projects come up on the side. I think I mentioned this earlier, that there's some collaboration with Dixie State, so there's opportunities to serve there. And the St. George Marathon every year was a fun opportunity to go and serve. There's different, as part of the clubs and the groups, there's different groups that are interest groups that sort of cater to service and to helping the community, and so there's opportunities to serve in that regard. Other extracurricular activities, I know that there were several students that formed different co-ed sports teams that competed in the city leagues, and basketball, softball, soccer. So yeah, I think that there are a lot of opportunities that the school can sort of helps facilitate for students to get involved in the community.
Are there any challenges that your school is facing right now?
Yeah, I think I sort of mentioned this earlier, but I think the biggest thing for our class was, as we started into this third year, there was some concern and some trouble securing enough rotation sites and getting enough preceptors for us. I feel like in the last few months that's really come around, and most students now have their third year schedules more or less set up. But there was a little bit of trouble there, perhaps what we'd expect being the first year, and part of it is some growing pains. But I feel like for the most part, the school is pretty well set. There's Colorado's campus has been great in sort of facilitating and helping set these up, and I don't really foresee any future problems. I think that was really the biggest one, was just the rotation sites and making sure that there were enough preceptors for everyone, but that seems to have resolved. So
In your opinion, is there anything that could be improved with the school?
I feel like for the most part, the curriculum has been well established and has been proven to be very comprehensive. I don't think that there's any problems there. The one thing that I might say is, I know for a lot of the students in my class, there was some wish or hope that there would just be a little bit more transparency and better communication, so that everyone was sort of on the same page. It felt at times like we were maybe in the dark a little bit as to what was going on behind the scenes, and just some questions as to what the school was doing in order to set up rotation sites, and that maybe concerns about just transparency. I think overall would probably be the only thing that I could come up with that maybe could be improved. And I think that goes both ways, the students sort of voicing our concerns and then having a response. I think that that's perhaps the only area where it would have been nice to see a little bit of improvement.
Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you would like to mention about your school right now?
No, I don't think so. I think we more or less covered it. I will say, going back to the service, something that just came to my mind is, right across the street from the school is the veterans home, the Southern Utah Veterans Home, and there's lots of opportunities there as well, especially during second year, to get involved and to sort of get some early clinical experience going over there and seeing patients and such. So that was a neat experience as well, and something that I probably should have mentioned. As far as the school, though, I feel like we covered it pretty well. It's a great place, a great location. The faculty are overall excellent and really care about the students and care about our success. So I feel like we covered it. Yeah, Rocky Vista, Southern Utah is a great place. Really enjoyed it, and I'm glad I made my decision the way I did.
Any final words of advice for pre-meds coming into the field of medicine?
If you're at this point and you're considering medical school, and you've already taken the MCAT and you're in interviews and such, you sort of have an idea of what to expect, although I don't know that you can really be 100% prepared for what hits you on day one of first year. It's definitely that fire hose that they talk about. But no, I think that it's an excellent field, a really rewarding profession that allows you to take care of people, allows you to provide for family, and as I said earlier, there's job security, and medicine overall is fascinating and continues to grow and improve. So I would just say best of luck. You're doing the hard part. Once you're there, you're there, and it's what you make of it. You put forth the effort and you work hard, and it can be a really rewarding experience. Difficult for sure, but rewarding.
And there you have it. That was Ryan Knight from Rocky Vista University in Southern Utah, with his thoughts and impressions on being a part of a brand new school and the first inaugural class of a DO school. And so I really appreciate the time that he's spent in his busy rotation schedule to talk to me and to be straightforward with his experiences so far. If you'd like to know more about Rocky Vista in general, as well as more details about the school in Southern Utah, I will include a link to the website in the show notes below. If you'd like to reach out to me, you can do so at theosteopod@gmail.com, and you can follow the podcast on Twitter at @theosteopod. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.